T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Good evening. Welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. My name is Michael Austin, free market economist, filling in for John Whitmer this evening. We are happy to have you joining us tonight. We are here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and of course, traditional values. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. If you would like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330 or by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook at The John Whitmer Show, and on X, formerly Twitter, at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Well, we have a really great show planned for you tonight. So first off, we're going to have TPPA Honorary Chairman Jenny Beth Martin. She's going to be with us to discuss how Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer bypassed the impeachment trial against Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas this week, effectively shielding Democrat senators from that pivotal, very pivotal vote, definitely dealing with our border crisis in our country. Then we're going to go to President Donald Trump. We're going to discuss the hush money trial of the former president, and we'll talk that over with Michael Letts from Invest USA. Then we'll bring on Mike Kuckelman. If you don't know who he is the former chair of the Kansas Republican Party. He'll join us to talk about what Republicans can expect from this fall's Republican National Convention and how there's still time to apply if you want to be a state delegate. And then, of course, we'll preview the upcoming legislative veto session with Kansas Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. And as always, we will take your calls at 316-869-1330.
And Michael, if I can interrupt you for a second, a little quick programming note. We've already received a question, so I wanted to let folks know. You mentioned Mike Kuckelman. He is the former chair of the Kansas Republican Party. You know, right now we're in the process. The different congressional districts are selecting their delegates to the RNC. We did reach out to current chair Mike Brown. We reached out to Mike. We reached out to the executive director of the party. Did not hear back from them. I tried to get them to come on the show to talk about the topic. They chose not to. So that's why we've got the former chair instead of the current chair. So I just wanted to let folks know that's why we have the former chair instead of the current chair.
Appreciate that, John. And what's really most important here is we want you to be informed. So how can we make sure we get you the information that you need to know? We will bring in whoever we need to make sure that you have the most up-to-date information if you want to participate in any matter. And on this matter about the Republican National Convention coming up in July, we thought that was something you definitely needed to know about. Well, before we kick off here, I wanted to touch on a couple of things here, and that is the number seven. The number seven. Seven, when I refer to this number, I'm referring to seven major tax relief bills that our governor, Laura Kelly, has vetoed. Seven. That means ever since she's been in office, the Kansas legislature has tried to pass seven major tax relief bills in some way, shape, or form, trying to give back either more money in your wallet, trying to decrease your property tax check that you have to write twice a year, trying to decrease the price of food and services that you might see at checkout. Seven different times the Kansas legislature has tried to pass that on to you. Laura Kelly has instead said no. It goes all the way back to 2019. John, do you remember back in 2017, President Trump passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act?
Sure. Yeah. The Democrats all claimed that was, you know, tax cuts for the rich, even though it did benefit all income tax brackets. But yeah, I remember that one.
Rising tide raises all boats, yep, and it was the most significant tax relief the country has ever seen, probably since Ronald Reagan.
I remember that.
But as I said before, I'm a free market economist. At that time that that bill was passed, I was chief economist for Kansas governor housed at the Department of Revenue, and we had to figure out what that tax savings meant for you. And we had discovered about almost $200 million would be going into state coffers just because of Kansas tax law. So even though President Trump passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, because of Kansas tax law, some of that money wasn't getting to you. And I realized how much that was, brought it to the legislature, and the legislature wrote a bill to try to get that money back to families and businesses. Laura Kelly vetoed it the first year they introduced it. In fact, technically, in that 2019, they had introduced two bills trying to do that. She vetoed both of them. Then in 2020, the legislature tried to introduce a property tax accountability. I mean, isn't that crazy? Trying to make sure that local leaders are accountable for property tax increases. Laura Kelly vetoed that too. In 2020, during COVID and the economic response to COVID, I don't think it was COVID at all, but it was more government's response to COVID that really killed the economy. The Kansas legislature tried to help out businesses with a loan recovery program. Laura Kelly vetoed that too. In 2021, the legislature tried to bring back that piece of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, trying to maximize those savings back to you. Laura Kelly vetoed it again. This time, though, the legislature finally had enough votes to override it. Then, if you look at 2023, the legislature said, well, let's try to simplify our taxes. Let's try to do a single rate. They tried to push through Senate Bill 169, vetoed. Earlier this year, the House tried another single rate bill, House Bill 2284, another single rate. Vetoed. We're going to have Dan Hawkins by the end to give us, of course, a legislative update. But just recently, the legislature has once again sent another tax relief bill to Laura Kelly, House Bill 2036. This one accelerated food sales tax. It cut your property taxes. It simplified our income tax rates. It exempted Social Security income. What do you think Laura Kelly is going to do?
Well, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I also have to remind folks, one of the things that this bill that they just passed did was make the sales tax on food zero, effective immediately instead of when it naturally. But if you keep in mind, the sales tax on food would already be zero had Laura Kelly not vetoed that bill three times.
Yes.
So, keep in mind, there's another ad. So actually, it's really not seven. It's 10 times that she has vetoed tax bills. Because she vetoed the sales tax on food three times.
You're exactly right. And so you added three bills that you cared about. I have seven bills that I cared about. You ask another Joe off the street, there might be a whole another 10 bills that they wanted to see get through the legislature. And odds are our Democrat, progressive, leftist, she's not middle of the road, she is leftist governor, vetoed all of that. So we're going to have Dan Hawkins at the end or near the end of our session here, obviously give us a legislative update, definitely talk about taxes and other bills, but I just gave you her history. And as we all know, or at least what I like to know, use as an economist, past behavior is a good a predictor of future behavior. We have a pretty good idea what she's going to do. Now, the question, of course, is why does she keep bringing up these bills vetoing these bills that just make common sense to everybody? And I think ultimately it's because she doesn't care about you. She doesn't care about family. She doesn't care about businesses. This is a great Thomas Sowell quote. The only thing a politician cares for is getting elected. What's number two is getting reelected. And whatever is number three is so far behind. Now, of course, Laura Kelly is term limited, but she wants control. I mean, and that's the leftist party in a nutshell, is they want control. They don't care about the results. They don't care about the consequences. She is petty and she is willing to throw anyone under the bus just to keep that control. Don't believe me? Let's look at this last session. You may or may not be watching this or reading this from the news reports, but let's say this whole tax relief discussion that's been happening this year. Did you know Laura Kelly threw House Democrats under the bus? Why? Well, the Senate had an idea of a tax relief plan. They put some provisions together, but one of their income tax provisions was to leave our three rate bracket structure as it is and just lower the top rate from 5.7 to, I think it was around 5.5 or maybe just 5.55. I can't remember the exact number. House Democrats said that favors the wealthy. Laura Kelly didn't care. She had a meeting with House Democrats where she effectively forced them to eat crow. I don't believe the Democrats' position at all. I think you really should lower taxes, definitely the highest marginal rate, because that's how you grow the economy. You lower the most punitive tax out there. But if you were to believe that the Democrats have principles, then House Democrats were put into a bind and Laura Kelly didn't care. She threw them under the bus anyway. Now, thankfully, House Democrats had, you know, the wherewithal to at least try to stand up for their principles and voted the thing down. But now Laura Kelly is looking at a bill where she wasn't brought into the negotiation. That's 2036, a bill that was bipartisan passed by both the Senate and the House with both Republicans and Democrats. What do you think she's going to do? You know what she also did? She also threw law enforcement under the bus, too, for reasons unknown. I won't get into details on that. I'll let our good speaker talk more about that when we bring him in. But if she vetoes this tax bill, she will throw the entire state under the bus, all because she wasn't invited to the cookout. I mean, just to even take a look at this latest drama with tax revenue estimates. John, did you know Laura Kelly said she's not going to decide on whether she's going to veto until the Kansas Department of Revenue and university economists make a prediction on how tax revenues are going to perform in the state? Did you hear that news?
Oh, I heard it.
You would think that sounds reasonable at face value, wouldn't you? Maybe a little bit.
If revenues weren't what she, that's an excuse. That's giving her cover. She's going to veto it, and this just gives her cover.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're kind of spoiling it. But, you know, it sounds reasonable. It sounds reasonable, except for the fact that the state already has $4.5 billion in state savings already. $4.5 billion. Are you telling me that Laura Kelly thinks that state revenues are going to drop by $4 billion over the next year? No. It's a red herring. It's a scapegoat. It's exactly what you said. She's trying to shift the blame. She's trying to shift the questions. And she's willing to find some way to justify what she wants to do, which is veto. And lo and behold, guess what happened on Friday? Predictions said the state revenues are essentially unchanged. Laura Kelly, if you're listening to this radio program, and I know you do, or at least you have some staffers that do, stop grasping at the straws. Lady, you look out of touch. You look like you are out of the facts. Legislators want to go home to their constituents. Families want to see their next paychecks get a bump, and they want to write a smaller property tax check twice a year. Oh, my goodness. It is in our faces. Laura, sign tax relief and do it now. The hush money trial of former President Donald Trump began Monday, and this is the first time a former president will stand trial over criminal charges. Doesn't that sound like a bad precedent? Sounds like one bad one to me. Jury selection started Monday morning and ended without a single juror selected. The president is accused of using hush money to pay off women he allegedly had affairs with and fraudulently logging the payments as legal expenses. Trump has denied those allegations and called the trial a quote-unquote witch hunt and plans to testify in his defense. The trial, which could last as long as 8 weeks, requires that the presidential candidate has to be in the courtroom throughout the entire proceedings. Joining us now to discuss this trial is Michael Letts, a local law enforcement veteran with over 30 years experience under his belt. Letts is the president, founder, and CEO of Invest USA, an organization that provides bulletproof vests to police officers through various charitable groups and sponsorships. Michael, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, and we thank you for the opportunity.
Not a problem at all. So, Michael, let's just get the obvious out here. Is this case legitimate, or is this just another attack on a Republican president?
It is a totally illegitimate case. It's nothing but a political vendetta. I think what is ironic is, you know, just yesterday, Abernathy, the attorney for Stormy Daniels in the past, who is serving time for fraud, not just for the issue with Stormy Daniels, but for millions of dollars taken from clients during his legal practice. But interestingly, from jail, he said he will be happy to testify on behalf of President Trump. He feels like he has pertinent information that perhaps the person testifying against the president, Michael Cohen, perhaps had more involvement with Ms. Stormy than we care to discussed. It was actually utilizing money from President Trump, unbeknownst to him, to cover his own indiscretions. So it will be interesting to see how that comes out.
Oh, my. So then tell me more. who's behind this trial? Tell me the people who are behind this trial. If this is just another, gosh, one more attack on the Republican president, one bad president, who is pushing this through? Who has the marionette strings, so to speak?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Democratic Party has been searching for every way possible to make sure that Donald Trump never gets on the ballot. They're scared to death of the possibility of him being reelected as president. And, of course, every poll indicates that that's the case. But what they're doing is anything they can do to make sure that doesn't happen, from charging him to using the President Biden is using his Department of Justice, weaponize it to go after anything they can find, whether it was classified information that the president has the right to take under the Presidential Records Act, whether it's accusing him of committing an insurrection, which we all know is a hilarious situation from the standpoint. I mean, if you're going to get an insurrection, that's the worst one I've ever seen. You don't do an insurrection. You don't overthrow a government by running in there and just watching and observing what Congress is supposed to be doing.
And take pictures, yes. And take pictures, but go ahead. Go ahead.
So that, or, you know, by saying, hey, you've got fraud in your election process in Georgia, and, of course, being declared, oh, no, this is the most election with the greatest integrity we've ever had, and then now it's coming out. Literally hundreds of thousands of votes were illegal votes in Georgia. So they kind of shot themselves in the foot on that one. So then they got this particular case where they have, of course, the DA, Mr. Bragg, who can't stand President Trump, to take a look at a case. What is the whole crux of this situation? They're saying that the president used campaign funds to silence Stormy Daniels. Well, if that were legitimate, then there would be a problem there, because you cannot use campaign contributions for those kind of endeavors. The problem is that it was first complained to the Federal Election Commission, who would have jurisdiction over that. They reviewed it. It could find no probable cause to open up an investigation. However, wanting to cover themselves, they sent it over to the U.S. Attorney's Office for that jurisdiction. Check behind this, make sure. The U.S. Attorney's Office, again, could find no justification and decline the case. So it sat for years, nothing being done because there was no case to be involved. Then the local district attorney decides to take that and make it a state matter, which it has no jurisdiction over. The state has no jurisdiction over federal elections, but tried to stretch it into making it seem like it was campaign contributions, and he failed to disclose that to the state on the state level. They're trying to criminalize that behavior, which everybody who looks at it scratches their head as to how they could even try to reach that far, much less actually present a case.
Yes.
But that doesn't matter to them, because when you look at New York, the area they're trying it at, 90% of those people voted for Joe Biden. So they're hoping they will have a tainted jury that will get a conviction, and then they can have a heyday saying, well, you shouldn't be voting to elect a convicted president.
So then, Michael, let me ask you. So let me ask you this. So you spent decades in law enforcement, and by the way, folks, we're talking to Michael Letts from Invest USA. Michael, you spent decades in law enforcement. Is it possible Trump can go to prison?
Technically, yes. Practically, no. Because first of all, the conviction would have to be appealed. It would be appealed. Obviously, that would have to go to the Supreme Court. It's the first time you've ever had a former president try for such a ridiculous situation. And by the time that got to the appeals process, I'm sure that common sense would prevail and it would be overturned. But they would certainly want to use that the threat that he's going to, during his term, somehow be forced to go into prison during his term. If it's upheld, there's absolutely no possibility that it would be upheld. But it's their scare tactics.
Yeah.
They are trying to get the public to be scared, trying to support President Trump. And you remember, it's not just President Trump. It's anybody who has conservative values. And that's what's so discouraging in this whole particular situation.
That's right. Once they do this to President Trump, they basically made themselves a little rule book to going after anybody else whose opinions they don't like. So I guess what you're basically telling me, the possibility of Trump getting a fair trial or even a fair jury in New York is pretty slim.
It is pretty slimming, but it's important. There are some other cases that the president has that are pending before the Supreme Court. Now, one of them is presidential immunity. And he is not arguing for himself. He is arguing for every president. If it gets to the point in this country to where you can go after the president for any decision he makes while president, you're going to have a very lame duck constitutional officer. What you'll have is basically what England has with the king, all show and no go. And that is not what this Constitution is about. That's why presidential immunity is so important. The Supreme Court recognizes that. You know, they typically don't take cases away from the lower courts and immediately want to hear them unless they think there's an urgency. They're doing that on this particular case. Of course, what happens if the Supreme Court leans the way it appears to be now, all these cases will go away. There won't be any basis for any of them. There was no basis for any of them to begin with, but it'll just expedite the matter so that justice prevails immediately instead of down the road.
Michael, you are a wealth of knowledge. If folks want to connect with you, where can they find you? Online at investusa.org?
Please, you know, that would be the place, investusa.org. It's a charity.org. All this information is there, and I ask your audience to make sure they do us all a big favor. Tell your first responders wherever you see them tonight, tomorrow, the next day, thank you for your service. We have a great crisis in this country, national security. Morale is lower than it's ever been. They need your support. They deserve your support. God bless you for what you're doing. God bless America. Y'all have a great evening.
God bless you too, Michael. Thank you again for taking the time to join us this evening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The 2024 Republican National Convention is scheduled to be held July 15th to the 18th at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Kansas will be sending a delegation of 39 delegates, 24 at large, 12 from the four congressional districts, and three automatic delegates. With us now to tell us more about the 2024 convention is Mike Kuckelman, former chair of the Kansas Republican Party. Mike, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Hello, John, Michael, tonight. I about said hello, John, but hello, Michael.
That's okay. I'm here. I'm just sitting in a corner.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this. You've been a delegate to the RNC's before. Tell folks, what can they expect if they get chosen to go?
Certainly. So I was a delegate for the 2016 convention and also the 2020 convention. The 2020 convention was set to the side because, remember, that was COVID. It was in Charlotte. We barely were able to have a convention during COVID due to some of the ridiculous mandates. So looking back to 2016, this convention in 2024 will be more along the lines of the 2016. It'll be a great event for Republicans to all come together and throw their support in for President Trump. And I mean, the whole thing, it's a great opportunity. It's a great experience. I mean, some people watch it on television, but Republicans in Kansas that want to participate, they still have time.
Now, as you said, you've been a leader. You've been the state party chair for the Kansas Republican Party. Just full disclosure again, John has reached out to our current chair, Mike Brown. Is that right, John?
Yeah, I reached out to Chairman Brown and to the executive director, tried to get him to come on the show. Didn't get a – it's not that they said no, they just never responded. So I knew I wanted to have this conversation, and I wanted to have the conversation while there was still time for folks to apply to self-nominate to be a delegate. And so that, you know, I tried the old college try.
No, you got to do what you can. So I wanted you to preface that because I wanted to ask this. To your knowledge, Mr. Kuckelman, is the leadership prepared for this 2024 convention? At first glance, it would seem like it's going to be no different than 2020, 2016, 2012. But, you know, I've heard some rumors. I've heard some news. And they have made me skeptical. Give us any insight from your perspective and what you've seen for preparation for this year for Kansas delegates.
Well, I share that concern because we're almost into May and we have to pick our at-large delegates. The state committee does. And I want that meeting to be held in person because there's more to this than just picking the state delegates. I mean, we need to get Republican enthusiasm ginned up. And, you know, we should get together and elect these last six. And again, the deadline for that, for people who want to participate, to self-nominate, to be on the ballot, is this Friday, April 26th. But in May, we'll have that meeting. We'll select those six delegates, the six alternates. There's a lot of work to be done between now and July, and I hope that it's being done. If you remember back in 2016, Kelly Arnold at that time was the chair. Kelly Arnold had a couple of people whose full-time job at the convention was to make certain everything was in order for all the Kansas delegates. We had a number of events outside of the RNC events. I mean, every time we come back to the hotel, they had food for us. They had drinks for us. Because part of what happens at this convention is builds enthusiasm, which you know what that's important for, Michael. We build the enthusiasm so we get out the vote. We can't afford to have Republicans stay at home in Kansas. And the risk here is people know that Kansas will go for Trump. I mean, there's no doubt President Trump will get all six Electoral College votes from Republicans. But we have Republicans down ballot that we need to get elected to. So what should happen at the convention is it takes an incredible amount of effort, but it should be an effort to do the primary thing, which, of course, is to nominate President Trump. But the secondary thing is to get people excited, so we get out the vote. And, in fact, I would push that in May, when we go get together to elect, you know, the last six, there should be a Seeing Red reception or something following that election.
That makes sense.
Because we need Kansans to see how excited those of us in leadership, the delegates and officers are about this. We can't afford to be ho-hum about this. We can't afford to just do it by Zoom just to go through the motions. We have to do this in person, and we have to show the rest of the state how excited we are about it, because that drives getting out the vote. If we get out the vote, Kansans will elect Republicans.
So you're exactly right, Mike. Just hearing Zoom for a meeting with over 100 folks already gives me a headache. I don't have any aspirin by the table here next to me. So we're just going to move on and hope that that at-large delegate selection meeting will not be in Zoom and will be by in person. But, John, you have a question?
Well, I don't think there's anything in the rules that we even allow it by Zoom, nor do I think, frankly, with this current, the way that the state party has handled things, you're still waiting on a treasurer's report from the last meeting. You've got unresolved issues with an attempt to disenfranchise minority groups that's still hanging out there. I don't think a Zoom, is that even legal in the bylaws? Could he call that? And how would you even logistically handle that in a transparent manner?
Well, I would not advocate for doing any of this by Zoom. I mean, we're Republicans. We get together. But you could. I mean, during COVID, we did have to do it a few times. You can get the state committee to do that if it's necessary. But just the opposite is necessary in 2024.
Right.
We need to meet in person for multiple reasons. We need to clear up some of the things that are going on in the state party. We need to get the party unified.
Yes.
You know, these Seeing Red receptions that you can have after this vote, you have people from all over the state who are there together who unify. They get to know each other, and you know, we don't have then four congressional districts that are just silos. We meld and develop into one Republican party in the state of Kansas. But one other thing that it does, you know, we have a lot of young Republicans that They need to be taught to the experience. They need to see how these things work.
Yep. Sure.
Because they're our future leaders. You don't teach people by sitting behind a computer screen. And the last thing I'd say about that, I don't think State Party will buy it anyway, because, you know, in Kansas, people are pushing hard. They want paper ballots. They want them hand counted, and they want in-person voting.
Yep.
If we're going to preach that in Kansas, we have to walk the walk.
Hear, hear.
We have to meet in person. We have to have paper ballots. We have to hand count them, and it's in person. How can we advocate statewide for those types of election integrity if we don't even do it in our own party? We can't be hypocrites. We're going to meet in person, and we're going to do this the right way.
You know, Mike, I was a delegate in 2012 in Tampa, and then I was a delegate with you in 2016 in Cleveland. I've been through that process. I understand. I chose not to put my name forward this time around. I wanted to give somebody else a chance, an opportunity. But I understand that there was some – we didn't have any issues in the 4th District, but I understand there was, I'll just say, some shenanigans that have gone on in some of the other districts with slates that were inserted with an attempt to disenfranchise. Or are you familiar with what exactly went on, that the state party was trying to basically, say, throw out the elected ballots or elected – can you shed any light on that?
Oh, of course I can, because I participated at the 3rd District and I pushed hard against this. I stood up and spoke against it. We couldn't afford to allow this to happen. We had an effort to, for example, in the 3rd District, we had 19 people who wanted to be considered. When we showed up, there was a state-run slate that had the three handpicked people that they wanted, that state leadership did. And 3rd District pushed back hard against that and voted it down and said that all 19 people who took the time to self-nominate and ask to be considered were going to be considered. The 1st District did the same thing. Laura Francis, the 1st District chair, did an amazing job. I've seen the video, watched the video. I was really proud of how she handled a very difficult issue. 1st District did the same thing. 1st District said no to the finger on the scale slate. We're going to select our own people. But, John, that, and Michael, that brings up an important point. There was a slate also circulating for these at-large slots.
What?
And there were some people saying, well, what's the point of even, you know, putting my name forward if they've already picked, before the nominations even closed, if they've already picked who those six delegates and six alternates will be? And I'm telling people, please go forward. Put your name forward if you want to do this. And count on the state committee to say no to some kind of a slate, some pre-selected group of people being pushed through. Those people on the slate, many of them are fine. They should be considered as well, but they should be considered with the people, all of the people who self-nominate. We owe it as a matter of respect to any delegate, any Republican in Kansas that has put their name forward, to consider them and vote on all of the nominees, all the self-nominated people, to select those delegates. That's what we owe it to. We don't do pre-cooked deals in Kansas,
yep.
And I'm convinced when we meet in May, there will not be a pre-cooked deal. The party won't allow it.
Save double standards for the left, honestly. If we're going to be the party of election integrity, then if we're going to be the party of transparency, then we have to have in-person and hand-counted ballots, and then we also need to not have top-down slates that were selected in back rooms with cigars and brandy and the worst types of...
Hey, I like cigars and brandy.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Well, John wants to do that, but I don't. Mike, if folks want to attend the RNC, like you said, there is still time to self-nominate. They can visit kansas.gop. At the bottom of the page, I believe there is a link to both an online and principal 2024 RNC self-delegation nomination form. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. And they can go there, and basically the nomination form, it asks you why you want to be a delegate, and it asks, you know, what has been your involvement in the Republican Party? Because obviously we want to send Republicans who are experienced. So this is kind of one of the things that you benefit from when you're involved and you help in elections. People want you to be able to be seen and to be the leaders that are sent to represent our great state, the Republican Party, at the national convention. So, yeah, there's still time to do it. People should be signing up.
Mike Kulkelman, former chair of the Kansas Republican Party, thank you again for joining us this evening.
All right. Thank you. Have a good evening.
So John, you heard our conversation with Mike Huckelman, former chair of the Kansas Republican Party, and then you were also a delegate in a number of years for the convention. What has been your experience, and what are your thoughts about this one we have coming up?
2012 in Tampa for Romney. He was our delegate. He was our nominee.
We're all human. You know, it's all right.
What can I say? And then 2016 in Cleveland. Interesting. I mean, fantastic experience. I hope that the state party, you know, what Mike was saying about the events that are surrounding, obviously your evenings are busy because you've got convention stuff that's going on.
Right.
But it's during the day that the state delegates get together and do things. You know, you take a bus and you go out to, like in Tampa, we went down to the Buccaneers Stadium, and there was an event there. In Cleveland, we went out to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, there's just all kinds of stuff, and those are events, but the state party is the one that coordinates those, and they find sponsors so that you're not paying for it. So the delegates aren't having to pay for your food, pay for the transportation. That's all on the state party, and I'm hoping that the state party is organized. And not only that they can organize those activities, but then find someone to underwrite those. Otherwise, because it's already expensive. To be a delegate, you've got to pay. You pay for it all out of pocket. So you pay for your own airfare. You pay for your hotel. You generally don't have to pay for food because all the food you typically, the party gets that sponsored. They get it underwritten. Everything, typically.
And we didn't talk about this.
Typically. I don't know about this year.
And we didn't talk about this on the conversation, but, you know, in the last state committee meeting where they're talking about the finances for the state party.
They're broke. I think they had what? Negative $7,000 or something like that. If you can believe them. Remember, they didn't have a treasurer's report. So I just don't know. And I'll be honest with you, that's one of the reasons why I didn't submit my name, because I just wasn't sure. So I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's an incredible privilege to be a delegate. But I'm optimistic. Let's just put it that
boy.
Way.
Oh, boy. Well, thanks for that, John.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.